This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. Coming up, we'll be talking with the coffee guru Todd Carmichael of the TV series Uncommon Grounds on the Travel Channel. But first, no showers ever. Live bacteria spray will keep you clean. A company has created a live bacteria spray so you don't have to shower. The product called Mother Earth, which contains live bacteria that is sprayed directly on the skin twice a day. It has no odor and feels like water. The company isn't making any scientific claims just yet, but it will soon begin clinical trials on inflammatory skin conditions like acne to see how the spray works on that. Comedian Nicole Arbour's video, Dear Fat People, has gone viral. In it, she says, fat shaming is not a thing. Fat people made that up. She describes her six-minute-long rant as a bomb of truth exploding in your face and says she's not targeting slightly overweight people, but the 35% of North Americans who are obese. That means you're so fat that you're affecting your own health. Arbour took issue with the idea that it's cruel to criticize fat people about their weight and said if someone is shamed by others into losing weight, that's a good thing. She posted it on her Facebook page Friday, and by Monday it had over 19 million views. After a bunch of complaints, the video was taken down briefly. One person commented, what you call fat shaming is simply bullying that can and has resulted in people committing suicide. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady commented on the divorce rumors surrounding him and his supermodel wife, Gisele Bündchen. Rumor has it the couple may be seeking divorce with all the stress from dealing with the Deflategate scandal. Plus, they hadn't been seen together in nearly 2 months up until last week. However, in a radio interview, Brady said of his marriage, we're in a great place. There's no bigger supporter I have than her. Brady said, there are a lot of different emotions that I went through. This has been a different type of challenge in my life. I think it's been a different type of obstacle to overcome. After a federal judge tossed Brady's four-game suspension last week, Bündchen posted a photo of Brady on Instagram playing soccer with their daughter with the caption, and my heart melts. Biggest love, hashtag family. An industry source says Taylor Swift is obsessed with getting more number one hits than her pop rival, Katy Perry, and is pushing to get songs from her 1989 album promoted. The source added she wants 7 number ones. Katy tied Michael Jackson's record for having 5 number ones from a single album, and Taylor wants to beat Katy. She wants to be the greatest. Swift set out to woo media and radio promoters by having intimate listening sessions at her apartment before she released the album last October. The source says she knows all the radio execs by name and how to work a room. She's a complete pro. Swift's rivalry with Perry goes beyond music. Sources say the two started feuding last year over mutual ex John Mayer, but Swift says it was about Perry trying to steal staff from her. An insider says of Swift, of course there's motivation to beat her peers, but it's friendly competition. She's completely focused on delivering great music and a great show. Coffee guru Todd Carmichael is the host of the series Uncommon Grounds on the Travel Channel.
Hey, Mike.
Hello there. How are you, sir?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. So, Uncommon Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Travel Channel's new series. And tell us about this.
Well, it's kind of a portal into my world, but ultimately what we do is we combine the love of coffee, if you're a coffee lover, with the love of adventure and seriously sick travel.
Now, well, wait a second. Unfortunately, people have had sick travel, especially on cruise ships. What do you mean by sick travel?
Yeah. Well, you know, coffee is grown in the most isolated parts of the planet, you know, way, 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 way up in the mountains in the third world, that, you know, around the equator. This country consumes the lion's share of coffee on the planet, and it's someone's job to go out there and get it. And that's what I do, and I take you on that trip. For me, I was born at a time when we started recognizing, me and a couple other guys, started recognizing that, you know, coffee wasn't done, that it was moving forward in a really dynamic and exciting way. That the coffee of my father and the coffee of my grandfather, whom I love very dearly, but, well, it's not what we're drinking now. And that there's a long way to go. Now, I'm just a farm boy from just outside of Spokane, Washington. I left the farms when I was 17, 18 to go to college. And I landed a job dragging these grain sacks around for this company. And on the sacks were like names like Kenya and Burundi and Uganda. And that company had 3 cafes at the time. And it was called Starbucks. And it was just that I was at the epicenter of the next wave of, you know, where coffee was going. And then it turns out there's another wave, and it's me and maybe 50 other guys that are just really pushing the envelope. And we're finding stuff that kind of redefines our understanding of what, you know, what coffee can be.
Now, is there any United States-grown coffee that we should care about, or is it all foreign and isolated in the jungle somewhere?
Yeah, coffee is this really temperamental plant that originates from Ethiopia. And one, it needs altitude, really high. Two, it's tropical, so it has to be really high and warm. And there's only one place in the world that happens, and that's along the equator. So across Africa, some parts of Asia, and Central and South America. It has to be grown there. It's kind of like a pineapple, you know. We grow a little bit of pineapples in Hawaii, and we grow a little bit of coffee. But outside that, well, you know, we just don't have the altitude in the tropics.
All right, so Uncommon Grounds is going to premiere on Monday the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
What should we be looking for on this show? What are we going to learn?
Well, you're going to see this super handsome 6'3" bald guy running around the world.
And that's you?
That would be me.
Okay.
Yeah. And this season, you know, the first two seasons I just got shot at. I got malaria, you know, rolled trucks. I almost escaped, got held captive. And those were areas that I like to focus. But this year, Travel Channel said, hey, man, we're looking at your travel schedule, and we like what we see. Can we go here? So we do, you know, we do some Panama. You know, it gets a little edgy. But we also do Paris, Morocco. I did a pop-up cafe. I go back to Zambia. You know, that's Africa, and that, you know, it's kind of different. I did a collaborative beer in Iceland with some guys where I figured a new way of putting coffee in beer. Turkey, Jamaica, and then I had to hit Cuba, right, because that's opening up. So we get a wide variety, and Uncommon Grounds for me is just kind of the wider scope of what a coffee guy with a lot of energy gets himself into.
But what did you do before this?
I just was a child. This is all I've ever done. This is what I know how to do. I started in 1982 when I was 18 years old, and I just have never let off the gas. I want to see how far this coffee road goes.
I know there's a guy that advertises with us, Bear Mountain Coffee Roasters, Jonathan, and he always talks about, you know, getting beans from this place and that place and grinding
right.
them up. So he's like a small version of you. He's like your mini-me.
I don't know how tall he is. You know, there's lots of me. There's more of me is growing every day, and we call it the third wave of coffee. And, you know, when we think back, I don't know how old you are, but when I think back, when I was growing up, there were two types of cheese, right? There was, like, orange and there was white.
Right.
You know, there was really only one kind of beer. You know, there was only, you know, the wine that was grown in the United States of America, it was in a bag. You know, I mean, this is kind of where we were.
That's true.
And coffee tasted like sock juice. You know, it was just, that's the way it was. It was Sanka and it was these things. In all those categories, we've taken over the world lead in terms of how we're processing it and how it tastes. And there's a bunch of coffee guys like your friend and like myself who are pushing that forward. The best coffee on the planet Earth is consumed in America. We are really good at this, and we are getting better. People come from all around the world to learn from us. And your friend and maybe a couple hundred other guys were out there and really just redefining where this could go. For us, it's more important because we drink more coffee than we drink beer, wine, juice, soda combined. I mean, the quintessential American experience is with a cup of coffee in your hand. We rule it. And so for us, taking the lead, forget the Germans and their beer, forget the Swiss and their cheese. We know what we're doing to coffee.
So what is your favorite cup of coffee? You're not having Sanka, I take it.
No, this morning I won't be really enjoying any Sanka. I got two I have to say. One, if you say to me, Todd, you can only have coffee from one country for the rest of your life, I would say, okay, forget it. All right, it's Ethiopia. Because Ethiopia has, oh my God, it brings tears to my eyes how good it can be. But the most extreme, most outrageous, outlandish, I can't believe I just had that cup of coffee, is from Panama. Panama. It is. To give you an idea, coffee geeks like myself, when they finally harvest a tiny amount of the next generation of this bean,
right,
we buy it. The highest price ever achieved, $649 a pound raw, not even roasted yet. $650.
Wow.
Because it's just, now it'll be more available in the future. You know, it's like having a prototype car. You know, the first one costs a lot. Later on, you know, then it, you know, everyone else can enjoy it as well. It's a geisha from Panama, and it changes absolutely everything about what you think coffee can be.
Do you ever have decaf?
I don't. My wife wants me to. The when I'm staring at the plaster in the morning. No, I do have decaf every morning. I do the quality control for my company, and so we do decafs, and so I'm always testing and testing to make sure it's good. But I like the warm feeling of caffeine and the flavors that you can have in coffee without it being decaffed.
Well, you know, I always love people who are passionate no matter what their interests are, and you certainly seem to have such a passion for coffee. I can't wait to see the Travel Channel's new season of Uncommon Grounds on Monday, September 14th, with Todd Carmichael leading us around the world in this ultimate chase for a great cup of coffee.
Exactly. All right. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Here's to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
With Todd Carmichael of Uncommon Grounds on the Travel Channel, I'm Mike Bennett, and you are listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
As we celebrate Labor Day, we wondered, can you succeed without working hard?
You've probably been told your whole life that hard work is required, but there is one way to succeed without working hard. Find your labor of love.
When you love your work, you naturally work more. When you work more, your skills improve. As your skills improve, you make more money.
But how do you find this labor of love in the first place? Ask yourself two questions. First, what did you give up? It may be a hobby that you used to enjoy. Maybe a job you had.
Second, what did you never take up? You had dreams when you were younger. What were they? Maybe now's the time to start them up. They may just lead you to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Think green. Harrison with you. Believe it or not, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has lowered the value of a human life by nearly $1 million under the current administration. According to an Associated Press study, the EPA's estimate of the value of a statistical life went down a whole million from just this May. What does this mean? When drawing up regulations, government agencies put a value on human life and then weigh the costs versus the life-saving benefits of a proposed rule. The less an American life is worth to the government, the less the need for a regulation, such as tighter restrictions on pollution. This way, with these sudden calculations, any rule can suddenly cost more than the devalued lives they're supposed to save. From the Greeniverse,
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.